Welcome to The Bridge, the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Paul Brown. Today, Pastor Paul will bring part three of a four-part Advent series.
Jesus is the bridge, the way to life eternal. Come and see, come and
Advent is a season of waiting, a time to reflect on the coming of Jesus Christ. For the past two Saturdays, I have been encouraging you to slow down and meditate on what it means. But for many, many people, this is a very difficult time of year. They focus on lost loved ones, difficult finances, loneliness, for some even hopelessness, and even thoughts of suicide. Some people don't want to deal with it, so they just keep moving forward at a frantic pace, hoping if they don't think about it, the situation will just get better. But I want you to know there's a deeper problem. In reality, the Christian life is not difficult to live. It's impossible to live. It always has been, and it always will be. In fact, I want to share something with you that I think may really set you free today. God never intended for you to live the Christian life. Do you realize that in the history of mankind, there's only been one man who could ever live the Christian life perfectly? And that was Jesus. And Advent is all about Him coming to meet our need. Advent is about our rescue mission. Jesus didn't come to give us some self-help principles and a pep talk. Jesus came to deliver us from sin, from the penalty of sin and the power of sin, and someday even the presence of sin. You see, Jesus is in us. That's what we're going to focus on today. God is in us. Jesus is in us not simply to ride around. This isn't a ride along with the police. Jesus is in us because He wants to live the Christian life through us. You can see this through so many scriptures, and I'll give you a few. But I want you to understand, as our focus today is joy, because God is in us. Joy comes when we cooperate with Jesus and allow Him to express His life through us. Some people want God to take over when they can't handle it, but God wants to take over all the time. That's what Advent is all about. God coming down to people who could not help themselves, who had no way of getting right with Him, who had no way of getting to heaven, who had no power to live out the Christian life. And He came to live that life through us. 2 weeks ago, we lit the first candle of Advent, hope. That hope is based on the fact that God is. He is our God, and He wants to be involved in our lives. Last week, we lit the second candle of love. We know God's love because God is with us, and He wants to be with us because He loves us. And today, we look at the third candle of joy. Now, the first two candles in many people's traditions were purple, but this third one is pink or sometimes rose-colored, and it symbolizes joy. Joy that Jesus will soon be here. But I want to submit to you, it's also joy because He's here right now. He is in us. Have you ever noticed that we tell our children to pray and ask Jesus into their heart? What does that mean? That's very confusing to children, by the way. But the heart is the place biblically where your intellect, your emotion, and your will come together and you make critical decisions. What we're saying is, Jesus, I want you to come into the center of my life and take over. I want you to cleanse me from there, from the inside out. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to call the shots now. You lead, I will follow. We're asking Jesus to be Lord. So we tell children to do that, and we often talk about the indwelling Holy Spirit. But how often do we think about the implications of that? In 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul says to the Corinthian believers, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test?" You might find this phrase, "Jesus Christ is in you," surprising. Or perhaps we just read over it without thinking too much about its significance. But what does that phrase mean? What is its importance for our Christian lives today? Well, in saying Jesus Christ is in you, Paul wasn't speaking poetically or metaphorically. He meant that Jesus Christ is literally, practically dwelling inside of believers. And there are many other verses in the Word of God that confirm this fact, that Jesus truly dwells inside of believers. Like the Corinthians, we need to realize this. It needs to hit us. It needs to make an impact in the way we live. So let me give you a couple verses real quickly. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 3:1-4 talks about the fact that we should seek the things above where Christ is seated. Verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We go to Romans 15:18. I will not to presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Paul says, I didn't do anything. Christ did it through me. John 14:20, Jesus said, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. John 17:23, Jesus praying to his Father, I in them, he says. Romans 18, if Christ is in you. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Ephesians 3:17, now this is a funny one. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We'll talk about that in a moment. 1 John 3:24, the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. Jesus abides in us. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. 2 Timothy 1:14, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Ephesians 22, in whom you are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you hear all those verses? Over and over again, God telling us he dwells in us. This must have profound implications. So let's look at what it means that Jesus Christ is in you and in me. First of all, theologically, and this is fascinating, because union with Christ summarizes different relationships between believers in Christ through which we receive every benefit of salvation. The first relationship is that we are in Christ. Now, the phrase in Christ does not have one single sense. It refers to a variety of relationships, as indicated in a moment. The first relationship is in God's eternal plan. Now, listen to this. This is really unbelievable. This is going to blow your mind. As far as God is concerned, the way God looks at things, you as a believer have always been in Christ. In fact, in God's eternal plan, Ephesians 1:4, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. 2 Timothy 1:19, this grace was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. From all eternity, God in his mind has seen you, if you are a believer, as in Christ. So this is God's eternal plan. But secondly, during Christ's life on earth, God saw us as in Christ. There's so many verses that say this, but from the time of his birth to his ascension to heaven, God thought of us as being there with Christ in everything that he did. Because Jesus was obedient, God thinks of us as being obedient too. Because we were in Christ, God thought of our sins as belonging to Christ when he paid for them on the cross. Isaiah 53:6, the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Before we ever committed a sin, Jesus bore those sins in his body on the tree. 1 Peter 2:24. God even thought that because we were in Christ that we died with him, Romans 6:6. We were buried with him, raised with him, and seated with him in glory, Romans 6, Ephesians 2. You see that God sees that all the blessings that Jesus earned during his life on earth are rightfully ours because we are in him. Wow. So God sees us in Christ in eternity past, during the earthly ministry of Jesus, and he sees us in Christ right now. Our union with Christ is so profound that God sees us as dying and rising with Christ. The Holy Spirit brings about a change in us so that we are now dead to the things of this world and alive to the things of God because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Because of that, Romans 6 says we have power to overcome personal sin. The power of Christ, the resurrected Christ's power, is available in us right now. And we are new creatures in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, and we can now fix our minds on things above, Colossians 3. So we have died and risen in Christ, and we now have new life in Christ. We don't just look to the past and what Christ accomplished for us, but what he is doing now. You know that Jesus Christ is working in your life right now? Are you a believer in Jesus? He's working in you. He's transforming you. He is changing you right now because you are in Christ. Now, I marvel at the Puritans. They lived at a time where maybe it wasn't as busy, maybe they didn't have all the distractions we do, but they took time, they slowed down, they meditated on biblical truths like these, and their lives were profoundly different. Oh, that we would do the same, because we would find out that God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. Let me ask you some questions. Is God aware of everything you're facing? Does he have the resources for everything you're facing? Does he care about what you're facing? Can he lavish wisdom, strength, skills at the exact moment you need them? That's what Advent is all about. Because he came, we can have newness of life. If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Bridge. This is the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. I'm Pastor Paul Brown, and we are doing a special four-part series on Advent. This is part three, talking about the joy that comes to us when we understand that God is in us. And because these things are true, all our actions can be done in Christ. Everything that we do, we can see it as being in Christ. God sees it that way. Paul saw everything he did as being in Christ. He spoke the truth in Christ. He was proud of his work in Christ. His ways were in Christ. He hoped in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to Philippi. He rejoiced greatly in the Lord. He said he could do all things through Christ who strengthens him. His labor was not in vain in the Lord. He says children should obey their parents in the Lord. Wives should submit to their husbands in the Lord. All believers are to be strong, be encouraged, rejoice, agree, stand firm, live a godly life, and have good behavior because they are in Christ. And in the Lord, we work hard, we're made confident, and we are approved. Those are all biblical statements. Our life, every moment of every day, is practically impacted by the fact that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And he wants to be in everything you do. He wants to be involved. Are you asking him to be? Are you letting him be? Now, this is not only on an individual basis, but we are all one body in Christ. It's because of Christ in the church we are one. He's the head and we are the body. And therefore, the Bible says we are members of one another. Just like the different body parts, we're different, but we all come together and we protect and provide for each other. We serve one another joyfully because we are one in Christ. And Jesus prayed that that unity in the church would be just like the unity between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in the Godhead. You know what's wrong with this? Here's the problem. As Americans, we are fiercely independent. We don't think we need anybody. We're like John Wayne or the Lone Ranger. We think we can do it by myself. And I've often heard people say, well, if I can't do it by myself, I'm just not going to do it. If I have to rely on somebody else, it's not worth it. Oh, can I say to you, God doesn't want it to be that way. Would you like it if your body parts rebelled that way? Said, oh, I don't need them. No, that wouldn't work. The body understands inherently we all need each other, and we can all help and support each other. We are in Christ. Well, secondly, we're not just in Christ. Christ is in us. That's what determines whether or not we're a Christian, whether or not Christ is in us. Romans 8:10, 2 Corinthians 13:5. According to God's wise plan, he wanted us, Jew and Gentile alike, to be one in Christ. And he is truly in us. Christ is in us. This should produce humility and dependence to realize that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. Christ is in us. And thirdly, this implies that we should be like Christ. Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Jesus is in me. He should change me. He should be manifesting himself through me. 1 John 2:6 says, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. If Jesus is in me, then I should live like he's in me. It should become more and more manifest to a watching world that I am becoming more like Christ. What's that look like? Romans 15:7. I begin to accept one another just as Christ accepted me. Ephesians 5:25. I love my wife as Christ loved the church. Colossians 3:13. I forgive others as the Lord has forgiven me. 1 John 3:16. I lay down my life for others as he laid down his life for me. 1 Peter 2:21. I am willing to suffer for Christ as he suffered for me. Jesus Christ came in me to make me like him so that the world might see him and want to know him and his Father. So we are in Christ. Christ is in us. We are like Christ. And fourthly, we are with Christ. We have personal fellowship with Christ on a day-by-day basis. Matthew 28:20 says, he is with us always, even at the end of the age. That implies in carrying out what he left us here to do. But let's be honest. So often we talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus. But if we were honest, we would admit it doesn't always feel that way. Sometimes, in fact, it seems like he's a million miles away. We're doing the right things. We're reading our Bible. We're praying. We're going to church. But it just seems like a dry desert period. It doesn't always seem personal. But you know, his word says, even if you don't feel it, he's there. And he's not just somewhere nearby. He's in you. And he's with you. And he loves you. He cares about you. No matter what you're going through. His physical body is in heaven. He ascended. But his divine nature is with us all the time. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17 says we can be comforted by him. Matthew 11:29, we can be taught by him. 2 Corinthians 2:10, we can live our whole lives in his presence, every moment of every day. He hears our prayers because he's right there. Your prayers don't have to go past the ceiling. He's right there. It's like you're talking to your best friend who has perfect hearing. He hears everything. And John 17:24, he desires to have fellowship with us. Our fellowship with Christ also brings us into fellowship with each other. John writes that which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are with Christ and have personal fellowship with him. I know sometimes you go to church and you're looking at others and you're just thinking, wow, they probably have a much better relationship with God than I do. But no, maybe not. And maybe they need someone honest like you to say, hey, I'm struggling. I'm trying to do the things right, but it just seems like God is far away. And then they can come alongside you and pray with you. You look at Scripture together. You can seek out the Word of God. Remind yourself of truths. What's Advent all about? The one who came 2,000 years ago said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that's what it means. We're with Christ. But our union is not only with Jesus Christ, our union is also with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. We are in the Father, John 17:21, and in the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:9. The Father is in us, John 14:23, and the Holy Spirit is in us, Romans 8:9-11. We are like the Father, Matthew 5:44-45, and like the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:4-6. We have fellowship with the Father, 1 John 1:3, and with the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:16. You catch that? Everything that we have with Christ, we also have with the Father and with the Spirit. We have union with them. They are always here. They will never leave. They will always be with us. They will surround us, provide for us, protect us, encourage us, come alongside us all the time. What an amazing relationship we have. And every relationship is unique and personal. Both now and in eternity, we relate to the Father in his distinct role as our Heavenly Father, to the Son in his distinct role as our Savior and Lord, and to the Holy Spirit in his distinct role as the Spirit who empowers us and continually applies to us all the benefits of our salvation. Now, that's all theology. That's all good. But what's that mean practically? Let me just give you a few thoughts to ponder. And I encourage you again, slow down. Meditate on these things. Think about these things. Let it sink in. See, if all of those verses about Jesus being in us are true, then why does Paul pray in Ephesians 3:17? He says this prayer, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This is a confusing verse. Some people say, wait a minute, I thought he already dwelled in my heart through faith. What is Paul talking about? Why does Paul say that he may dwell in our hearts through faith if he already dwells in our hearts? Well, here's the issue. Sometimes there's a gap between our theology and our practice. See, the Apostle Paul knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was dwelling in their hearts through faith, but he wanted Jesus to be, catch this, fully at home in their hearts. See, there's a big difference between living somewhere and being at home somewhere. When you're at home, you can relax. It's your place. You're comfortable. You can go there and just take a breath. It's an oasis. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus fully at home in your heart? What would make him fully at home? No idols, no sin to grieve him, available to spend time with him, loving him more than everyone else and everything else. Is that what the home of your heart is like? That's what Paul was praying. He wanted the Ephesian believers to have a life where Jesus could dwell and be fully at home in their heart. That's why he came. He wanted those of us who are far off to be drawn near. He wants intimate fellowship. He wants access to every area of your life. Don't try to hide anything from him. He can see it. Give him everything. You see, so often people try to do this by legalism. But Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 4:19, my children with whom I am in labor until Christ is formed in you. Yes, Christ was in them, but he wasn't fully formed in them. They were not fully trusting in him. They were trusting in their own efforts. So Jesus Christ wants to be fully in us on two levels. The first level is corporately. He wants to walk in the midst of our churches and be fully at home because of our unity, our faith, our worship, our service, our commitment to him. He wants us to know that he's watching and us in our church to be different. But he also wants to be personally involved in us, to lead us on the path by his Spirit, to lead us and guide us every day, to provide power for us through the strengthening of his Spirit in our inner man, according to the power that works within us. He wants to give us internal power to grow and change. He wants to bring about purity in our lives so that we really are different. He wants to be in us so that we are holy. And he wants a product of us being like him in every area, so that the fruit of the Spirit is manifest moment by moment throughout the day. Imagine that, if our lives were characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Why would that be? Because Christ in us, because the Holy Spirit in us are making us like Christ. That's what Advent's all about. The living God came down so that he could be, that he might be with us, he might be in us. Because of that, we have hope, love, and joy. Are you joyful yet? Jesus is in you, and he will be in you forever. Enjoy the blessings of salvation. Go out and live a life that makes him totally at home, and then make him known to others so that more people can experience the joy that is found when God lives in them.
Thank you for listening to The Bridge with Pastor Paul Brown of the Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. Pastor Paul would love you to join us for a worship service at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning, where he is currently teaching verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. We have a wonderful children's program during the worship service, and then Sunday school for nursery through adults at 10:45 a.m. We are located at 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda, California. To learn more about our church, please go to our website at www.thebridgebiblefellowship.com. On our website, you can listen to past sermons and radio broadcasts. Please join us again next Saturday at 7:30 a.m. on 99.5 KKLA, when Pastor Paul will conclude this four-part Advent series. May your coming week be filled with the joy of the Lord.